we look at 12-year-olds, and about 3/4 of the boys think boys should get more resources for education than girls, rather than equal opportunities. And over half of girls agree with that, too.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Economic progress alone does not eradicate gender inequality, and that's partly because it is rooted in attitudes that children develop in their school years. So, could the classroom be a good place to reshape those attitudes, and how big would the impact be if we try? Well, that's the question asked by an intervention in Haryana, India, that has attempted to reshape gender attitudes among adolescents. And one of the researchers, Seema Jayachandran of Northwestern University, joins me today. Seema, welcome.
Hi, Tim.
Seema, tell me first of all about the different experiences of women and men, or girls and boys, I suppose, that these school children would grow up with as part of day-to-day life.
Gender inequality is a problem throughout the world, but it's particularly bad in India, and especially in North India, including the state of Haryana. So one of the striking facts is that only 21% of women are participating in the labor market. That's one of the lowest rates in the world. And
yes.
Another big problem is the skewed sex ratio. Parents really want sons, so if they're pregnant with a girl, they often have an abortion. So they're about 1.1 boys born for every one girl, or 11 boys for 10 girls. And in Haryana, that's closer to 6 boys for every 5 girls. It also shows up in more day-to-day things that really influence their lives. Girls don't have as much freedom to walk across the village to see their friends. When families have a son, they have a celebration and give out sweets to neighbors. When they have a daughter, there's no sort of celebration about her birth. Kids are growing up thinking this is normal.
And what do we know about when the attitudes that sustain these gender differences are formed, and how they're formed as well?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on attitude formation, so I defer to psychologists on some of the details. What we do know is that even at very young ages, kids have these gender-biased attitudes. They pick them up from their families, from the media, from just seeing how people live lives. So if you aren't seeing women out and about in the streets, you think that's normal. So as an example, we look at 12-year-olds, and about 3/4 of the boys think boys should get more resources for education than girls, rather than equal opportunities. And over half of girls agree with that, too. So by age 12, they believe in this inequality, unfortunately.
So there was a very large experiment that this paper's about, and it was called Legion of Stars, wasn't it? Which is an excellent name. How many schools, how many pupils, how long did it go on for?
Yeah, so this was an intervention designed and run by an NGO called Breakthrough. And for our study, they ran it in 150 government high schools. So in our research study, we had a sample of 7,000 kids, but there were more kids in the classroom. So over 10,000 high school students were participating in this program. And it was about 2.5 years.
What happened with this? In the classroom, are the kids being told you have to believe different things? Or was it more based around discussion?
It was definitely more discussion-based. So to be clear, it was not neutral. The program was designed to make them believe more in equality. But one of the nice aspects was it wasn't lecturing kids. That also meant the kids, even the boys who participated, were more engaged. It was a chance to have debates and discussion. So it was sort of kids getting to share their ideas. And then the teacher, the Breakthrough staff member, kind of guiding the discussion, pointing out logical fallacies, making points they might not have seen, so that hopefully, on average, people would move towards more support for gender equality.
And was it all based around human rights, or was there a more practical aspect of this as well? Saying to girls what sort of life they might have if they went to university, or to boys saying, how it might help the household if the women in the household are in the labor market. Was that included as well?
Yeah, both of those were. Partly it's a human right to have equality, but also that there are some pragmatic reasons. India has made a lot of progress on girls' education. So there are all of these highly educated young women. And one of the points made is that women have all these talents. allowing them to use them, first of all, that can be fulfilling to them. But second, it can bring more money to households. It can make the economy thrive more, more innovation. And so, you know, I think one of Breakthrough's philosophies is that not everybody is going to respond to one kind of argument or the other. You know, different people, the light bulb goes on with a different kind of message. And so they definitely emphasized both kinds of reasons to support equality.
So Seema, how do we find out whether this has worked? How do you measure the outcomes from this? And when do you measure them?
Sure. So we did this through a randomized trial. So some schools are a comparison group where this program didn't take place. And we used surveys and, you know, a lot of techniques to try to kind of separate what people might think is the right answer versus what they truly believed in and did. So we measured first and foremost their attitudes. This was, you know, an unusual intervention for economists to study because it was trying to change their preferences, you know, rather than taking preferences as given, it was trying to make, you know, a boy feel bad if his sister didn't get the same opportunities as him, make him feel proud and like a good person if he was supportive of his wife's career in the future. So we measured what people think was right and wrong. You know, is it kind of that question I mentioned earlier of, is it okay for girls to get fewer resources for education? And we use techniques borrowed from psychologists to try to separate out what people truly believed versus just maybe some disingenuous answers. And we measured this first shortly after the program ended, a few months after the program ended. And then we went back 2 years after that to see if any benefits of the program had persisted.
And what did you find out? Did it change those attitudes when you measured them?
It did, and in a pretty big way, and both for boys and girls. So girls start out with more support for equality, but there was still a lot of room for improvement. They became even more supportive of gender equality, and boys did too. So one way of quantifying that is, of all the cases, of all the attitudes where someone didn't believe in equality, they thought it would be bad to have female politicians, or women should only be homemakers, not working outside the home. Of those cases, 1 in 6 of them were converted, transformed by the program. So that's not solving all of the problem, but it's a complicated problem, and we're going to need more than 2 years of an intervention. But I consider that a pretty big dent. And moreover, I think the most exciting thing is that when we went back 2 years later, those benefits of the program, those changes in attitudes persisted.
Seema, you know what some people are thinking hearing this. They're thinking, did those attitudes really change? Or were those school kids saying what they thought you wanted to hear from them?
Yeah, no, exactly. That was a really big concern. And so we thought a lot about how we could design our study to help solve that. So one thing we did is use a clever tool from social psychologists, which tries to measure how much different people care about looking good to others. So it basically asks you if you have saintly traits, like you've never been jealous of others. And if the people who report having these saintly traits, which are probably false, if those are the people who also say they now support gender equality, we might be worried that they're just shading their answers. But when we use that tool, we find that we see equally big transformations and attitudes for people who couldn't care less what other people think of them. So that gave us some reassurance. The other two things that made us more confident that these are truly effects are that, first of all, they persisted. So kind of wanting to look good, that's hard to sustain for 2 years. And then also we have some measures where we tried to actually see people's behavior objectively and not just rely on their self-reports.
And of course, for any program like this, we want there to be better outcomes for the girls that are involved in it. Looking at them specifically, did they change their ambitions, their expectations for what their lives would be?
Surprisingly, they didn't seem to change too much. And that's mainly because their ambitions are very high. You know, I don't know whether to think of this as a good thing or a bad thing, but most of the girls want to have careers after they're married. They want to go to college. And that just doesn't line up with the statistics we see of the actual employment rate. So, you know, unfortunately, probably some of them are in the comparison group who don't have this intervention. They're not going to be able to reach those ambitions. But right now, they have a lot of ambitions. And, you know, in some ways, that makes it sadder that you have all this talent. These girls have dreams at age 12, and this intervention was really aimed at allowing them to achieve them. But, you know, interestingly, it didn't raise their ambitions.
Outside the classroom, were you able to find out if this intervention made any difference to how the boys and girls behaved, or I suppose were able to behave, as opposed to what they believed?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the kids are still pretty young. They were 15 when we measure our first set of results, and they were 17 after that. So they're still living with their parents. But we ask them about behaviors that they have some say over, like, were girls walking to school alone? Did boys help out with chores? Were they supportive of their sisters, you know, trying to kind of push back on parents to allow their sisters to have more opportunities? And we saw that this new support for gender equality translated into behavior, at least self-reported behavior. And interestingly, that effect was bigger for boys than girls. And I think the likely explanation is that, you know, both boys and girls wanted gender equality more after this program. But then you also need power in society to act on those attitudes. And unfortunately, boys have more of that power. So kind of for this sad reason, this reinforced how important it is to involve boys and men in interventions like this that are trying to bring about more gender equality. The other way we tried to measure behavior is through some what economists call revealed preference measures, where we're actually measuring their objective behavior. So one aspect where we saw an impact was on a scholarship application to go to college. And the idea here was, if girls wanted to go to college more, or they expected to go to college more because they cared more about it and had convinced their parents, then they might be willing to fill out this kind of long scholarship application. And we see that. We see that the girls who participated in the program were more likely to fill out this college scholarship, which suggests that they wanted to or expected to complete college at a higher rate.
What do you think the program will do in the longer term? How do you think it's going to influence these adolescents when they get into adult life?
That's a great question. You know, really, this program was hoping to change the life courses of these students. You know, when they're young, they can avoid saying sexist things. They have some behaviors that they can control, but it's really when they start to form their own families that what they believe is going to really make a difference. So I'm hopeful we'll be able to resurvey, keep tracking the sample and see as they enter adulthood. One of the first outcomes we might be able to see an effect on is girls completing college and delaying marriage, you know, not getting married before 17 or 18, be able to finish university and then getting married. The impact that I'm most optimistic about is the employment of the wives of the boys who participated. So the female employment is one of the big problems in India. And coming back to what we saw with self-reported behavior when they were adolescents, boys translated their attitudes into actually changing their behavior more. So I think a man would have to push back on his, if his male friends made fun of him, or maybe his parents said that you shouldn't let your wife work, but he can handle that. A woman has a tougher challenge of having to convince her husband and her in-laws from a position of lower power. So hopefully both of those will happen. The girls who participated will work more, and the wives of the boys will work more. But I'm a little bit more optimistic about the boys' wives.
You've been able to demonstrate how effective a program like this is. I mean, ideally, then, you'd want it to be scaled up, to be taught in every school and just be part of a normal education. Do you think that you would get the same kind of result if it was scaled up nationally, for example?
Probably. If you scaled it up nationally, you wouldn't get as talented and committed of instructors as Breakthrough could do on a smaller scale. But this was such an effective program that it would still be worth doing if you had smaller impacts. And luckily, we're going to have a chance to see this a little bit. The state of Punjab, which is neighboring to Haryana, has decided to scale up this program to all of its 6th through 8th graders starting this year. So Breakthrough, the NGO, has started training the government teachers, and it'll be taught not by NGO staff, but by the social studies and moral science teachers of normal government teachers in Punjab. And so kind of the researchers and J-PAL, which is who helped run this project and promoting scale up, it's going to monitor it to see exactly what you're asking. How much of the original benefits do you retain when you try to do it on a larger scale? You try to do it in a more cost-effective way. And hopefully we'll strike a right balance between a model that's cheaper and scalable, but still has many of the benefits that we saw in this research study.
Well, let's hope that it does scale up, because the benefits you've had so far are very encouraging, aren't they, Seema? Thank you very much for talking about it today.
Thanks a lot, Tim. It was my pleasure.
The paper is called Reshaping Adolescents' Gender Attitudes, Evidence from a School-Based Experiment in India. And the authors are Deva Dar, Taran Jain, and Seema Jayachandran. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform, and all our past episodes, as ever, are at voxdev.org.